Thanks for joining us here at AG Kolkata. We are the church with the open arms and we serve in the city of joy, Kolkata. It is our desire to reach out to those in need and to be instruments of effective change in a hurting world. If you like to learn more about us, you can simply go to www.agkolkata.org. We hope that you'll enjoy today's message.
Today, my message is entitled Open Heart, Open Hands. Does anybody know what my message is going to deal with? Anybody wants to? You can talk back to me. Okay. Open Heart, Open Hands is not an NGO we are planning to start. Rather, my message is going to be on giving. Many of you knew the answer, but you didn't answer me. Okay, so full credit goes to you. I know that the preaching about giving preaching about giving is not a popular subject. You know, how many of you think that the preachers should never discuss money in a sermon? You have to be honest, okay? You tell me. How many of you think that preachers should not discuss money in their sermons? Anybody? You have to answer, okay? There's two questions and one of the other. You feel? Okay, there's one person here, honest person, yes. Anybody else? Okay, there's two. Okay. Okay, thank you for being so honest. I trust by the time we have done with this message, you will understand from where we are coming, okay? A follow-up question to what I just asked. How many of you want the preacher to share the whole counsel of God, not just a part of it, or only what people like to hear? How many of you feel that the preacher should do that? Okay. Still many are not. Okay, I'll leave it for you. Okay. The Bible, both the Old Testament and New Testament, talks about giving. Now, Jesus talked more about money in the Gospels than any other subjects. Jesus talked more about money than he did on faith, prayer, or even heaven. Are you surprised about it? If you are, you can check out the scriptures. In the very onset of my message, I want to say these two truths. First, God does not need our money. He owns everything. Nothing that we own belongs to us, friends. It has been given to us by him. The second truth that I want us to hear is we cannot outgive God. Our giving is nothing compared to what God has given and continues to give. I want us to know that God is our provider. How many of you would say amen to that? Amen. God is our provider. Let me ask us this question. Has he not taken care of your needs? Has he ever failed in providing for you? Let me encourage you with the story of Hudson Taylor, friends. Listen to it. When Hudson Taylor opened a bank account for the China Inland Mission, the application form asked for an asset list. Taylor wrote the following as a sum total of his assets. He said, £10 and all the promises of God. £10 and all the promises of God. I want to challenge every believer here this morning, friends, no matter what your salary or income is trust God with your finances. Trust God for your finances. I want us to turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 1 to 8. Listen to the word of God. It's coming up on the screen too. Just follow with me. There is no need for me to write to you about this service Paul is writing. For this service to the Lord's people, for I know your eagerness to help. And I have been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year you in Achaia were ready to give, and your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. But I am sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it is necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work. Let me set the context for us as Paul wrote these words. You know, actually, Paul started his conversation on giving by the Corinthian church in chapter 8. So you need to go back and read chapter 8 and 9 together. Paul had been on a collection project for the church of believers in Jerusalem who had faced with plague or famine, and were faced with poverty, and also they faced suffering due to persecution. Paul, over a period of time, had organized relief for them and from all the churches around. Churches like Achaia, Asia, Galatia, and Macedonia. But Paul, in these verses, boasts about the Corinthians' intention to give. But he reminds and reiterates this point to make sure that the Corinthians did not change their mind, but were ready to give. So to Paul, intention or pledge is good. But what is more important to Paul was that the intention is turned into action and pledge was honored and kept. Paul did not want to delay this collection any longer, so he told the Corinthians that he was sending Titus and other brothers to make sure they complete the collection project. And when he went later, it would be ready to be handed over. In teaching about giving, Paul uses a farming image in verse 6. Paul tells us, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. And whoever sows bountifully or generously will also reap generously. Friends, we need to be careful how we understand this verse. You know, some people have said, give and God will give you lots back. Okay. Others have said, give generously so you will be materially blessed. I want you to understand, friends. God does bless the gift and the giver when we give with a pure heart. But we don't give to get. You get that point? We don't give to get. We give to bless God's kingdom and advance God's purposes. Don't let anyone, there are a lot of people, okay, and I warn you this. Don't let anyone distort God's word by saying, if you gave 100 rupees, you will get back 1,000 rupees. Don't let them distort that, friends. Jesus expects his followers to be givers. Listen to Jesus in Matthew chapter 6 verse 2. He says, so when you give to the needy, Jesus did not say, if you give to the needy, but Jesus says, when you give to the needy. As followers of Jesus Christ, our giving is not optional, friends. Rather, essential. So when we talk about giving, you need to understand it comes from Jesus. It comes from God's word. It is not optional, but it is essential. Of course, Jesus wants us to give for the right reason. We ought to give for the glory of God and for the good of his people. We never give to please men, friends. Listen to this very carefully. We never give to please men, but to please God. Amen. Yes, do you agree with me? Yeah, even if I'm stepping on your toes this morning, this is God's word. Please listen. We want to please God in everything that we do, including our giving. Now, four aspects of giving from Paul's teaching in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. Okay, listen to it quickly. And we will come for communion at the end, okay? Giving is an act of worship. Listen to 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 12. Paul says, this service that you perform is not only supplying the needs of the Lord's people, but is also overflowing in many expressions of thanks to God. Our giving points to the God who gave everything, God who loves. Expression of thanks. Two things Paul emphasizes in this verse, friends. Number one, our giving meets the needs of God's people. Secondly, our giving, God is thanked and praised. And so let me just put this in one statement. How we live as God's people and what we do must be a worship unto God. So worship is not limited to a service or a location. Worship is a lifestyle, and worship is inclusive of everything that we are and what we do. You see, friends, when we come to the house of God, as we are doing this morning, we worship God through our songs, prayers, preaching of God's word, celebrating Holy Communion. However, some of us fail to understand that giving is also worship. And so when you gave your offering, when you gave your thanks offering, it was a worship as unto the Lord. Worship is not complete without giving. Have you noticed, you know, sometimes pastors, we get to hear this, for any reason for we have left out taking up an offering or giving a congregation an opportunity to come and give. You know, there will be people who will come by and say, Pastor, you missed out offering. You know, what is it? It's basically saying that worship is not complete without giving. It's a good thing, friends, when we learn this together as a congregation. Listen to Proverbs chapter 3 verse 9. It says, honor the Lord with your wealth, with the first fruits of all your crops. Worship. Giving is worship to the Lord. Honor the Lord. Malachi 3:10 says, bring the whole tithe into the storehouse, that there may be food in my house. God is saying that. You see, friends, giving back to the one who first gave us is worship. giving back to the one who's the source of all giving for us is the one that we give to, and it is worship. Now, we love the Christmas story. How many of us love the Christmas story? Yes. Or you're not answering today questions. You love the Christmas story? Yes. We all love the Christmas story. We admire and adore the wise men who travel long distance to pay their homage to the newborn king of the Jews. And I want us to notice something in this story, friends. So Matthew chapter 2 verse 11, on coming, the wise men, okay? On coming to the house, they saw the child with his mother Mary, and they bowed down and worshipped him. And then because they worshipped him, even the giving was a worship to them. Then they opened their treasures and presented him with gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Their giving was a worship as unto Jesus was a little baby that then. First Chronicles chapter 16 verse 29. Listen to it again. It says, ascribe to the Lord the glory due to his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. The giving is in the context of worshiping God, friends. Listen to Paul when he describes our giving as worship unto God. Philippians chapter 4 verse 18, he says, I have received full payment and have more than enough. I am amply supplied now that I have received from Epaphroditus, the tongue twister, okay, Epaphroditus, the gifts you sent. They are a fragrant offering, an acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. You see, friends, the important thing in our giving is that God is well pleased with our offerings. It does not matter how little or how big the offering is, but if you can touch the heart of God with our giving, we have worshiped God through our giving. Friends, we don't tip God. Do you know that? We don't tip God. We honor him with our offerings as an act of worship. Let our giving be pleasing to God this morning. Secondly, give with a willing heart. Listen to what Paul tells in verse 7, friends. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. Giving is not an option. I already told you that. But how much you want to give is your decision. Listen to what Paul says. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give. Our motives in giving must be pure, friends. Two things should not be true about our motives. Number one, sad feelings. The word reluctantly refers to sad or distressed giving. You're giving, yet you're not happy. You're sad. In contrast to when we are encouraged to give, we are to give, and it refers to giving with a spirit of happiness, joyfulness, and cheerful giving. Secondly, our giving, it should not be true about our motives. The second thing is external pressure. You see, whenever we give, giving is between you and God. Remember in Matthew what it says, your left hand should not know what your right hand is giving, right? It is between you and God. Paul says, you should not give under compulsion. God does not want to you to give under guilt or compulsion, friends, or pressure. How should we give then? Deuteronomy chapter 15 verse 10 says, give generously to them and do not do so, or give generously to them and do so without a grudging heart. Then because of this, the Lord your God will bless you in all your work and in everything you put your hands to do. Two part of it, give generously, and when you give, don't give grudgingly. Somebody has said there are three kinds of givers. The three kinds of givers are, number one, a tearful giver. Who is a tearful giver? We just talked about them giving reluctantly or grudgingly. And they talk to God like we all do, okay? And we must talk to God, okay? And they talk to God because when you keep talking to God, He will change us from where we are to where we need to be, okay? So please talk to God. These people, they weep before the Lord and they say, I don't have enough. I just cannot give. I just can't do, okay? They are the tearful givers. Secondly, there are another group of people, another kind of people, givers, are called a fearful giver. You know who the fearful givers are? These people are those who are gripped with a feeling, if I don't give, then God is going to hurt me. You see, friends, God will never do that. But when we don't give, we are hindering God's blessing to come upon us. Thirdly, it says there is another kind of givers called a cheerful giver. These people find joy in whatever they give to the Lord. These are kind of people that the Bible talks about. In fact, we read this morning in the passage that God loves a cheerful giver. Friends, in our giving, there are two things that we must do. One is God wants us to be obedient in our giving. Secondly, and when we give, it must be cheerful giving. So God wants us to be obedient and cheerful givers. Thirdly, give generously. We give because we love Jesus and the work that continues in His name. We don't give to do many things that is not, you know, God wants us to do, God's purpose, okay? Let's be careful as a pastor. As a leadership, I have to take that responsibility. And I talk to us as we talk. We give because we love Jesus and the work that continues in His name. We give for that. And God is never stingy towards us, friends. I'm yet to come across any person who will come and say, God has been stingy towards me. No. God has never been stingy towards us. We must never be stingy in our giving. Now, Paul was expecting a generous offering from the Corinthian believers for their brothers and sisters in Jerusalem. Listen to Paul's appeal to the Corinthian believers in verse 5. He says, so I thought it is necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and finish the arrangements for the generous gift you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. You see, friends, God modeled giving for us. And in the same chapter, and I don't have time to go through all of the succeeding verses where we stopped in verse 8, 9, right? But Paul, talking about God's giving, is in loss of words. He doesn't know where to start and where to end. So he writes in 2 Corinthians chapter 9 verse 15 in a short one sentence, and he says, thanks be to God for His indescribable gift. We all know that Paul is referring to God giving us Jesus, the greatest and the best gift. Friends, Jesus, the matchless one, cannot be matched with when it comes to giving. Yes, there are generous givers. We have heard stories after stories from the inception of this church about people who are so generous in blessing their brothers and sisters, like Paul is writing to the Corinthians church about blessing the church in Jerusalem. People here within the church over the years and across the world has blessed this church, giving generously. But at all of that, we cannot match Jesus. The matchless one cannot be compared. Why, friends? Jesus giving his life for us is the ultimate motivation for us to give. Why do we give? Because Jesus gave himself for us. Jesus gave everything that he could give for us, friends. And so it helps us to understand that Jesus modeled for us giving. We all know that Paul wanted us to learn this lesson about generosity. And when you check the Webster's dictionary, friends, it defined generosity as liberal in giving. The root form that comes from the Latin word, which refers to generous, is also known as open-handed. Open-handed. And God desires his children to be open-handed or generous. Let me ask us this question. When it comes to giving, are you open-handed or tight-fisted? You can answer that. I don't want you to raise your hand. When it comes to giving to God, are you open-handed or tight-fisted? Now, I was intrigued by this story. You know, Clara Null of Oklahoma's city, she lived in the city in a small town with only one bank and three churches. Okay, get the story as I narrate to you. Early one morning, Monday morning, the bank called all three churches with the same request. Could you bring in the Sunday's collection right away? We are out of $1 bills. Now, in case you didn't get that, let me share in the Indian context. Late Pastor Hanok Ghosh, we all respected this man of God. We still miss him in our midst. Late Pastor Hanok Ghosh very humorously shared this, friends. He said, one day all the denominations of notes had a debate as to who was the greatest. Rupees 1000 said, I am the greatest because of my value. Rupees 500 said, I am the greatest. I am more preferred by people than the 1000 rupee. Then rupees 100 said, I am the greatest, as people tend to use me more and I am readily available and a friend of the common people. Rupees 10 said, no, no, no. I am the greatest because when the offering is counted in the church, they find me in a large number. This may not be true of this church, friends. There are a lot of people who count the offering, the counting team. This may not be true of our church. But the point is, in our giving, let us be generous. Let us be encouraged by what Luke said in Luke chapter 6 verse 38. Give and it will be given to you. A good measure pressed down, shaken together and running over will be poured into your lap. For with the measure you use, it will be measured to you. The truth is, many people have not learned to give. We may compare different places, south and north, east and west. I am not going to go into that kind of a discussion. I think many people have not learned to give. And if we are the one of them, we must learn to give generously to the Lord. Number four, quickly, give to the glory of God. Now, giving is a spiritual matter. James chapter 1 verse 17 says, every good and perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of the heavenly lights, who does not change like shifting shadow. Can we stop and think about it, reflect? Every good and perfect gift, friends, everything that God blesses us, it comes from Him, friends. We don't give to impress anyone, friends, but for the glory of God. When we give to God, we thank Him for His faithfulness and His blessing upon our lives. God must receive glory in everything, friends, including our giving. I want to thank each one of you for your faithful giving to the Lord and for His kingdom purpose. I want to thank you, first of all, for the tithes. We thank you for your faithful tithing. The Bible teaches us that 1/10 of our income is given as tithe to the Lord. Listen to Malachi chapter 3 verse 10. I just quoted just the first part of it. Let me complete that. Bring the whole tithe into the storehouse that there may be food in my house. And then God is talking to His people as if He wants them to test them, because maybe there was some during His day they did not practice tithing. And He says, test me in this, says the Lord Almighty, and see if I will not throw open the floodgates of heaven and pour out so much blessing that there will not be room enough to store it. Straight from the mouth of God. That He's saying, when you tithe unto me, my blessing will be upon you, and you'll not be able to contain that. You see, friends, tithe is not whether you should or should not give. We must give. If you're not tithing to the Lord, you must start immediately and tithe regularly. You know, many believers face financial challenges and crises either because they are not tithing at all or not tithing regularly. I want to encourage you, friends. This is a principle that you'll never, ever regret in your life. As I said, first of all, it's obedience to the Lord in our giving. Also want to thank you for your offering, thanks offering, faith promises. This is our giving over and above our tithing. The work of God must advance, friends. It's not our work. We have been entrusted with God's work, and it must advance. The place of worship must be maintained and taken care of wherever it is. It's on Royd Street. It's here. It's all across this premises. It must be maintained and taken care of. Where does the money come for all this? Your offerings. My offerings. We must give to meet all the expenses of this worship place. In fact, God did not hesitate to point out our responsibility throughout his house friends, the house where he said, my house shall be called the house of prayer. He did not hesitate. Listen to Haggai chapter 1 verse 3 and 4. He says, then the word of the Lord came through the prophet Haggai. Is it a time for you yourselves to be living in paneled house while this house remains a ruin? Friends, it is our responsibility to take care of the house of God pertaining to all the purposes of God in the advancement of the kingdom of God. Thirdly, we deeply appreciate your giving towards AG Care for the underprivileged child support. We deeply, deeply appreciate your investment makes a difference in the child that we support. Fourthly, we sincerely appreciate your giving for Children's Church, Youth Department, BTC, Boys Home, Women's Ministry. It's all there. You know, others we write. We deeply appreciate you from, you know, different people from time to time. They just write. This is for this. Deeply appreciate. All of this is done so that the blessing of God will come to our children, young people, you know, to the Boys Home, to the, you know, young people who are trained for the ministry and for the cause of the women's ministry. We appreciate you. Listen to me very carefully. I have no doubt that our God is our provider. I have no doubt. He's taken care of this church right through. I have no doubt about it. He is our provider. He is in control. He will take care of the needs of this local church, friends, of fellowship. But I'm also aware we need to be faithful in our giving to the Lord and His work. I want to close with a story. A story said about a man who wanted to buy a Rolls Royce. All of us know this is a fancy car. It may not be available right now. He found a salesman and asked him about the total horsepower of the engine. The salesman did not know, so he asked his manager. The manager did not know, so he asked the owner of the dealership. The owner did not know, so he cabled the home office in England with the question. In a few days, back came the answer. It was just one word, adequate. No one has ever measured God's grace to those who give generously. But rest assured, I want you to know, it is adequate. It is far more than you will ever need, friends. God will never ever fail you when you give to Him and to His work, and His provision is always adequate. God is adequate, friends. We need Him and we need each other. This church budget for this year is each one of our responsibility. We don't sit and just a select few do that. No, friends. The budget for the church and the work of God to continue is each one of our responsibility. And I'm introducing a project this morning to help us enhance our giving to the church so that we do not have a deficit budget. And I'm calling it the same, the title of my message, Project Open Heart, Open Hands. You see a picture right there? We'll call it as a den box, collection box. And in the language of the children, piggy bank. Okay? Whatever you call it. I want you to possess one. Go to the market. Possess one. Step number one. Every family, every individual. And as I say that, because some of us live in families, you know, you can do it as a family if you No, if you're living together, purchase a den box or a collection box or the piggy bank. That is step number one. So starting this week, I want you to go to the market. Please purchase that and keep it with you. Step number two is start saving or put aside offering for this project. Open heart, open hands. You know, one request to all of us as you start doing that. Let this be over and above of what we are already giving. Let's not take it from here and put it there and you feel satisfied. No. Whatever you have been giving, give. This is over and above as you start saving. The third step to this is very simple step. March 2025, we will ask you to bring it to the church and deposit it. All of the amount collected from the project Open Heart, Open Hands will go towards meeting the needs of the church as we do it together. Let me conclude with the first Corinthians saying, you know, referring to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 2. Listen to this. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with your income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. So we are getting so many months for us to trust the Lord. Trust the Lord with your finances. Trust the Lord for your finances, and God will honor this. I'm going to ask Sister Joyce, would you please come? Let's pray for this project. This is not my word, this is God's word. We are going to be giving people. And so close your eyes, bow your head as you just, we're going to commit this entire project to pray for this project, that God will be in the center of everything that we do by way of this.
Thanks for listening to this message from AG Kolkata. We hope you would stay connected by following us online. You can find us on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram by using @AGC Kolkata. We would love to know how this message has touched your life. Please take a moment to share your story by emailing us at stories@agkolkata.org. Hope you have a great week ahead.